Well, if you like turning your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you need to cast your mind back quite a number of weeks now, and we've been going through the gospel or the epistle of 1 Corinthians. We're up to chapter 13 and we've been looking at God's checklist of love, and we've certainly looked at a number of these, and we actually have four more to go. But as a refresher to our memory, I'd just like to have a Bible reading from chapter 13, and we'll read down to verse 8. So starting at verse 1, it says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." Then we read, have a description of what charity really is. It says, "Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, and is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth." And we have looked at all but the last four, where we read in verse 7 that charity believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, charity never faileth. And so these are the four that we're going to be looking at this morning. And I trust it'll give us a little bit of an understanding of how Christ wants us to love each other in these ways, in the same way that he loves us. So before we look at this, let's ask for his blessing to be upon us. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for the day. Thank you that, Lord, you love us beyond our comprehension. We know that you want us to love you as you love us, and you want us to love each other in the same manner. We know we fall very short. Lord, we have a sin-ridden body and mind that, Lord, keeps fighting against the work of the Spirit of God. We know that we can be strong in one moment and then very weak the next. Lord, we need constant reminders. We need your grace to work in us, to be that those loving disciples of each other that you have commanded us, so that all men may know that we are your disciples indeed. And so I pray that, Lord, as we consider these four things this morning, that they may be used of the Spirit of God to prompt us, correct us, encourage us, enlighten us, Lord, in how we should be living, and that, Father, your name may be glorified in our midst. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when you look at these four things that we have here, love, we'll believe all things, we'll hope all things, we'll endure all things, we'll never fail. They are very similar, but there is a difference between the four as well. And so that's what I hope to explain to you as we go through this morning. And so let's just jump straight into it, where we see, first of all, that charity or love believeth all things. That's an interesting statement. Love believeth all things. Now, the word that's used here is used or appears in the New Testament about 250 times. And most of the times when it's used, it is used in reference to us believing in Christ, where we have believed in Christ, or we are believers in Christ, or it has something to do with us believing Christ or the gospel. And if the context here was our relationship with Christ, well, then this would be very easy to understand and explain, in that if we have a genuine and sincere love for Christ, we will believe everything he tells us. We will believe all things that he tells us in his word. The only problem is the context isn't our relationship with Christ. The context is our relationship with each other. How we relate to each other. How we treat each other. And here we're told that if we love each other, we will believe all things. Now that puts a different slant on things. Does that mean if I genuinely love you, I will believe everything you tell me? That I will be happy to be gullible or be taken for a ride by lies, by people? If I truly love people, I will accept everything they tell me. Is that what it's saying? You know, I do know some people like that. Not in this church, but I have come across them in other church, and I feel sorry for them because they just believe everything people tell them, and they are abused by very selfish people throughout their life, and it's a very dangerous thing. But is it saying that when someone tells us something, we're obliged to believe it? Even if we know that they're wrong. Even if we know that they have a history of telling lies, do we just accept what they say? Well, before we really consider what it's talking about here, there's one thing I do want to make very clear in regards to what the Word of God says in believing others. And that is that the Scriptures tell us that we aren't to believe everything that people tell us. You know, let me give you a few verses. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God. Because many false prophets are gone into the world. We're told that we don't just accept anyone that comes preaching God's word. We need to try what they are really saying and the genuineness of that person. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things. And so we are to investigate everything. Proverbs 14:15, the simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well into his goings. Ephesians 4 tells us we need to know the truth because we're not to be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Some people hear of a new craze in the Christian realm sweeping through. It might be like the old days, the Toronto Blessing, or the purpose-driven life, or whatever it may be, and you just accept it on face value, and you just believe them. Sadly, that's how many are, and they're tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And so when we compare Scripture with Scripture, we understand that when it says, love believeth all things, it's not saying that we're obliged to be gullible fools and just accept everything someone says to us. So that's a relief. But that still doesn't answer what it's really saying here. And I believe that the answer is found in what we call the parsing of the word believe, believeth. That is the makeup of the word. In the original, the Greek, the word believe is in what we call the present indicative active. And so it is an action verb, but it is also in the present or the continuous tense. Now, I have described this in various times, but for those who may not be aware, the present tense can be seen in two ways. You can have the picture of a line where it is just continually happening, and so it's just a constant thing. Or the present tense could be not so much a line, but a continual dots, dot, 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 but it's a continual thing going along. And so it also basically portrays the character of someone, what they are genuinely like. And I've used as an example before someone who may jog. Someone who jogs once a year, you don't say that that action is in the continuous tense where they're doing it regularly. There's just a dot. Right? Not dot, 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 dot. But if you wake up every morning and you go for a jog, all right, that's a part of you. That's what you do regularly. You are a jogger. And it describes a part of you, what your character is like. You are someone that gets up and jogs every day because that's what you love doing. Now, just say you are a jogger. You wake up one morning And you see that there's some very dark thunder clouds and there's lightning coming down and hitting the ground and there's hail stones. And you think to yourself, I think it would be wiser not to go jogging today. That's the wise decision. And so you don't go jogging that day. Now, does that mean you're no longer a jogger? No. You haven't changed who you are and what you are. All it means is it was wise not to jog today, but because you are a jogger, the next day when everything's fine, you're out there doing it again. That is how you describe someone in the continuous tense or that present tense. And that's how we are described or told to be when it comes to believing all things. If we are somebody who believes all things, it's going to be a part of our character. We are going to be known for that. Someone who is like that will not be known as someone who's cynical about everything, who doesn't trust anybody, who doubts everyone's motives. And when you say, did you hear that they do that? Oh yeah, I wonder why they're going to do that. And they're cynical and doubting. That's not the character of someone who believes all things. No, we'll be known as somebody who trusts people, who believes people when they say things. Now, if there's someone who has a history of consistently lying, well, then that doesn't mean you think you're going to believe everything. It'd be wise to check things out, just like there's a thunderstorm outside. Or if something seems a little bit strange, it doesn't mean that you're not permitted to prove all things and check it out. But we should be known as people who are not cynical or doubting of people, but trusting and believing. And when we do have to check something out, that's a bit like the jogger who decides to stay home that day because it's not wise. And so to say that love believeth all things, it doesn't mean that we are obliged to be gullible fools. But what it does say is we should be known as people who trusts others. And that should be the character of us within this church. If we are to love one another, well, then we should be people who believe one another. We're not doubting and being distrustful of one another. We should be thinking the best of one another. It's really the opposite to someone who thinks evil. You know, we're not. When you love someone, you don't think evil of them, but what do? You think the best of them. That's your first response until proven otherwise. And so if we want to do what God says here, we need to make sure that with our dealings with each other, it's not filled with doubt and suspicion and distrust, but we should be people that believe and trust one another. That's how love acts. You know, often we can shake our heads at Job's friends, can't we? His comforters. And we think to ourselves, what type of friends were they? Where was their love for Job? You know, Job said that he was a righteous man, that he wasn't lying, that he didn't have a secret sin. But they wouldn't believe him. You know, what sort of friend is that when he pleads with them, look, I can be trusted, I'm doing the right thing, and they say, no, we don't believe you. And they tried to convince him that he was evil, and the reason these terrible things were happening to him was because he had done something terribly wrong. He's just not willing to admit it. You know, often we can stand on Job's side, shaking our heads at his comforters, yet so often, as believers with one another, we can be on the other side. And we're like Job's friends, looking at people and convincing ourselves that they are wicked in some way, even though we're not sure why. And that's an unloving way to act. And we can all become like this if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to do His work of changing us and helping us to forgive those that may have even hurt us or even lied to us in the past. You know, one sad place to be really is where if somebody does lie to us, We find it in ourselves maybe to forgive them, but we don't find it in ourselves to ever trust them again. Where we think because they told a lie, everything they have said in the past is a lie, and everything they are going to say in the future is a lie. That's a sad place to be for both people. And we see here that that's not how someone who loves others will act. Yes, you may have to be careful, you may have to inquire, but that doesn't mean you become suspicious. And there are people that are so twisted and bitter inside with so many people in their realm of their church or the church they left because they're all terrible people because they may have been hurt in some way and they just assume that they will be like that from then on. They don't believe they could ever change. And that's a sad place. Imagine if the Lord treated us like that. I think we've all lied. But imagine if He was convinced we're less liars from now on and would never tell the truth. Or we've all been unkind, but we're always going to be unkind from now on. And that's where we can see if we have a genuine love for each other. Do we believe? Do we have that character of belief? When someone says, look, I know I hurt you, but I didn't mean to come out that way. I'm sorry for that. Is your first thought, yes, yeah, sure, you're just trying to cover yourself? Are you cynical? Or are you believing? Where you believe what they say. If someone says, look, I'm sorry, I'm running late, something happened, and I just couldn't avoid it, do you think, yes, yeah, sure, you're just making up an excuse? Or do you believe what they say? If someone says, look, I want to put Christ first in my life, do you think, yeah, sure, we'll see what happens? How do you respond? I never want to be known as one of those cold, hard, cynical Christians who can't trust anyone simply because they've been lied to or mistreated by others. And when it comes to this church, if we want to have a loving church, we need to be not just a forgiving church, but a believing church where we have that character of believing one another. So that's the first thing when it says, believeth all things. How's your character? Are you cynical or are you believing? The next thing we see here is, hopeth all things. And as I said with the believing all things, if the context was Christ and our relationship with Him, well then that would be very easy as well. We will hope in Christ in all things. Yet it's to do with our relationship with others. Now the word is translated in our New Testament, trust more than hope. And so it has that idea of trusting or hoping in something to happen. You know, these are the ways it can be used. We trust in Christ. Or I have my hope in Christ. Or it can be used in other ways as well, like, I trust I will see you soon. Or I hope to send such and such to you. You know, I have my own little definition of this word, and that is, it's trust with expectation of something to come. Where you're trusting and hoping something will come to pass. And I believe it's an expansion of believing. It's the next step. You see, the first step, someone might say, look, I'm sorry for the way that I spoke to you. I was so wrong. Will you please forgive me? I'm not going to do that again. And you can be believing where you say, look, I believe that you are sorry. I accept that. The next step is to have hope in all things, where you are expecting better things to come from them in the future. You don't sit there and think, okay, I know you're serious about, I know you're sorry now, but I don't have any expectation of you changing. I'm sure you're going to do it next week as well. And you're cynical about that. And you have that attitude where you don't think you'll change. And that's how a lot of us can get. Now, sometimes it's with good reason, because the person does do it next week, and they do it the next week, and they do it the next week, and you begin to wonder, is this time, are they fair dinkum? But that should be our attitude nonetheless, where we have that hope or expectation of people changing. And this is in, as I said, the present continuous tense as well. So this should be a part of our character, that we believe that God is at work in each one of us, that we're not going to stay the same as we have been all the time, that God will work that Christ-likeness in us. And so, yes, we may be, that person may be someone that speaks in a manner that offends now, but I have hope of better things to come, that Christ will change them in the future. You know, we should have this hope because we should have that love for one another. We can have this hope in one another because we know we're not just relying on that person to change themselves. We know that there is a God who can change them. And so we should have that hope. You know, a parent with a child who has forsaken the Lord for sin generally never gives up hope that they're going to come around. You know, yeah. Others might write them off and go, there's no hope for them. They're never going to come good. But a parent loves that child in a manner where you just don't want to let go of that hope. I really believe they will come around at some stage. Even years later, they're still holding on to that hope. That's what love does. It produces that continuous mindset of hope for someone. You know, the father of the prodigal son, Once he saw his child go out, he didn't say, well, it's all over, no hope for him. No, he watched and watched and waited because he wasn't going to give up hope. You see, when it's only when all hope is gone we bail out. You know, those who love their, sailors who love their ship, if water starts coming into the ship, they don't jump out straight away. They want to save and rescue that ship. So they will do everything they can to get the water out to save the ship. It's only when they are convinced there is no hope of saving the ship, they bail out. And that should be our mindset as well. We should be people who aren't quick to write people off. We aren't quick to think that God has given up on people. We aren't quick to jump off or overboard and say, I'm just staying away, or I'm having nothing to do with this person. There's no hope for them. That's not how love acts. You know, it is true there are times we have to stay clear of some people when they're rebelling against God and they refuse to repent and they're fighting with God. You certainly don't want to be standing side by side with someone who's fighting against God. You want to be on God's side, helping them to come to that point of repentance. But what we do discover here, when it comes to our character, our outlook on and our attitude towards others, it should be one of having hope in all things. We trust that God can do something for them and will do something. And we're not quick to write people off. I wonder, how do you act towards others in that way? They do one thing wrong, you write them off, there's no hope for them. Well, that probably tells just as much about you as it does for that person. Or are you known as someone who thinks the best of others and holds on to hope that God will do a work in them? Well, I believe this is what it's talking about. That's how love is seen in this way. And then also it says, endureth all things. And I've explained this word a number of times, and I'm sorry if you've heard it too many times. I'm sure we all need a reminder of what it's like, but the word is made up of two Greek words, and it means two Greek words, remain or stay under. And so you remain under pressure. You have pressure coming down on you, and you're under it, and you remain under it. And I just like using the example of the poor old camel that's laden up with this big burden to carry for all the people that are walking free and easy. And that camel has to go through that desert, through all the trials, burdened down. I've never spoken to a camel, but I suspect if you could speak to a camel and they understood and talked back, they would say, I wish I could get this heavy, rotten thing off my back. Why can't I just walk around free like everybody else? I'm sure they would wish to throw it off and just run and do what they want. Yet, for some reason, they stay under that burden. And that's what the picture of endurance is. You're remaining under the pressure. That's what love does. You know, when you're a parent, there's lots of nice times, but there's a lot of hard times, isn't there? But what keeps you doing that every day? Your love for your children. You remain under that pressure for one reason, because you love your children. And that's why you do it. You know, we're told that in Hebrews 12 that Jesus endured the cross. He was afflicted in terrible ways. He could have escaped any time he wanted, but he stayed there and he took upon him everything, the sins of the world, the punishment that those men could give him, and he did it because he loved us. He remained under that pressure and that load. And when a group of believers come together as a local church, there are lots of pressures and loads that we need to remain under. You know, there is a need for a huge prescription of endurance. I wish you could sort of have it in a little bottle, you know. I think I need a few more endurance tablets today, all right? But that's where you go to the Lord. He gives you that endurance. It's His grace. You know, when you're serving the Lord together, endurance is needed. You know, you're witnessing to someone and they're not responding a very good way. You need endurance to keep being that witness. Trusting the Lord knows what's best. When you're ministering in the various ministries of a local church, there's endurance that's needed. The tendency is to quit when it gets hard. But if we love the one we're doing it for, which should be Christ, and if we love the ones we're ministering to, who Christ loves, well, then we will be able to endure. But I know that when people come together as a church, it's just not the work of the Lord that requires endurance. It's also we need to endure our own little quirks and differences as well. And often that can be where we need a double extra strength tablet of endurance. Because we all have our own little quirks and differences, don't we? We all have our own little mindset of how life should be lived. We have our own little personality quirks as well. Generally, everyone else thinks that everyone has a little quirk except them. I'm normal and everyone else is just a little bit odd, right? But we've all got them. And we all get selfish at times and don't want to be around that person with that irritating quirk. You know, we get annoyed by people. We all get hurt and offended by others. There will not be a church this side of glory without its problems and difficulties and hurts and annoyances. And how does Christ expect us to deal with these things? Patiently. To endure them, to remain under. Some people think, I am just getting out of that church because they're full of quirky people. Right? I'm going to go and find a church where there's all normal people. And so that what happens? They end up having home church. Because the only normal person in the world they discover is them. Alright? And so that's how they avoid all the quirky people. But that's not what God says. Now this is how we grow. We grow in patience, grow in love, grow in grace. We grow more like Christ. You see, Christ doesn't say, well, that person is annoying, I'm staying clear of them too. Wouldn't that be awful if He treated us like others may treat us? Now, what's Christ's reaction to those who are a bit quirky or different or not quite the way we would like them to be? He loves them. He has a genuine love. And He says, I want you to love others like I love them. That requires a Christ-likeness that only He can create in us. And also requires a lot of endurance as well. But that's what makes a loving church. When people can love each other that much, we can even put up with all our idiosyncrasies. rather than complain about it and get frustrated and avoid. And that's a reflection of a real loving church. And I know us well enough to know that we're not there yet. And we can grow in that area. But the last one is, charity never fails. And basically, this is like putting a ring around, a circle around all of them. With every one of these things that's mentioned, well then, you put a circle around it and say, and it continues. It never fails. It continues to act like that. And so with all of these things, you don't get to a point where, okay, I've done that, don't have to do it anymore. I've believed enough, I'm not believing anymore. I've hoped enough, I'm not hoping anymore. I've endured enough, I'm not enduring anymore. It never fails. And it's continuous. And if you're anything like me, I know that there are things that we can all work on. And it's a regular thing. And I trust that we will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we read this list of what love is like, you are perfect in these things towards each one of us. Lord, that's an amazing thing in itself. Thank you that you love us like that. Sorry that we don't love you like that, let alone others. But Lord, I pray that, Lord, in our walk with you, we will grow more like you to be able to be like you in these areas. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.